This is Father Ted, and you are listening to the Bunker Jiu-Jitsu Podcast.
All right, we're back again. Welcome, everybody, back to the Bunker Podcast. Today, I have another good friend of mine who's actually one of my earliest and oldest training partners at the gym. His name is Peter Aceto, and he is also a blue belt. We kind of came up together around the same time, and I started a little bit before Peter at Rev, but he joined up, I think, right after the lockdowns, the COVID lockdowns, and he'll tell you a little bit more about that. But he's also been a good friend of mine, as I said, a training partner. He's been to the bunker a couple of times as well, and just really interested to hear his story. So, Peter, happy to have you on.
Thanks, Ted. It's a real honor. I've enjoyed the podcast, your other guests very much. So it's an honor to get to be on it as well.
Well, thank you. I don't know how much of an honor it is for all our 15 listeners, but you know, but it's, you know, I guess we'll just start off as I always do, you know, kind of asking, you know, just tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, like, what do you do? How did you get into jiu-jitsu? All that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, I'll keep it short and then you can ask me questions so I don't run on and on. Yeah, so I was born and grew up here in Toronto. I spent most of my, like, from a work perspective, I worked for a company called ING Direct, which later became Tangerine, which is like a direct bank. So I'm sort of like someone who worked at a bank, but like a different kind of bank, like a customer friendly bank that treats people really good. I'm married. My wife's name is Sylvia. We've been married. Actually, our anniversary is coming up. End of April will be our 27th wedding anniversary. We have three kids. So I have a 23-year-old daughter, 21-year-old son, 19-year-old son. My wife and I moved to the US for work, in like the year 2000, and we actually had all three of our children in the United States. And then we moved back home, in like 2008, and obviously thrilled to be back with our family and friends and, with our three I like to say our three souvenirs from our time in the US. that's a little bit about me. You know, in terms of like staying fit, I was always a basketball person. And then I'd sort of play like ice hockey, like many Canadians do, just for fun. And then I ran as well. And I started to just like basketball just seemed unsustainable to me, in the sense of I was just getting injured in my back and my knees and my ankles. So I knew I needed to find something different.
You decided jiu-jitsu would be better for your body.
Yeah, well, it can be. Anyway, we'll get into that. And then running, it wasn't going to be sustainable for me. It was just too much pounding and stuff. So I was trying to think about what I want to do next. I am into sort of mixed martial arts as a spectator. I researched a gym in my neighborhood, which happened to be Rev MMA. Very highly rated. I went there. I joined boxing, kickboxing, and jiu-jitsu class. I realized if you're only going to work out 4 days a week in the gym, these are all skills. Like, you can't just go once a week. Mm-hmm. And I just fell in love with the jiu-jitsu, the mental part of it, the learning, the community. And so about just under 5 years ago, in the COVID context, I joined Rev and I started learning about jiu-jitsu, and that's when I met you.
Yeah, I think you joined in between lockdowns, right? Like, I think you joined the summer after the first lockdown, but then we had one more after that, right?
That's correct. And actually, when I joined, because, you know, Joel was very compliant, you know, we had like he had tape on the ground, and I had to stay in my box, and I had to work, you know, with a dummy, like a non-human dummy.
Oh, non-human dummy.
Exactly. I was heading that joke off with the pass. So that's kind of how it started for me, which is a bit of a weird start. And but yeah, that's when I got really interested.
Yeah, we had the pods. We had the pods. you know, to protect everybody, I guess you could say. So you were only training with like one or two of the same people over and over again. Yeah, it was a strange time, but I remember, yeah, we were partner up because even though I'm bigger than you, but you're pretty tall. And so we're almost the same height and length. So like it was a good matchup. Right. So, yeah, I'd only been training like not even a year. Right. So you're just a little bit right after me. You started as well. So if I started like 2019, you started 2020, right? I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're right. Usually, and like I've learned that, you know, usually big people find big people and because it just sort of goes better. And I remember, I mean, I'd never done any martial art at all. So this idea of like putting your weight on someone seemed, you know, so foreign to me. As well as I remember, you know, like the usual, you know, tension and jerkiness. And I remember you whispering in my ear, you know, just breathe, man, just breathe and relax. You were very helpful,
right? Which was ironic, considering I didn't know what I was doing either.
Let
me tell you, from my extensive 8 months of jiu-jitsu experience, let me tell you how to be calm and breathe. Right? It's so funny.
Well, you're right.
Well, yeah, but I was just parroting what everybody else told me, right? So, but it was good though. It was good. It was a good like crew then, and not just only our friendship, but like. Everybody who kind of came through that time, there's still a few people who are there. Yeah, it was good kind of friendships that we kind of put together. I think during after the second lockdown, you did stop by the bunker once in a while, did you not? Like not a ton of times.
I remember hearing about the bunker for the first time, and I asked you if I could come and watch and like help. And you said, sure. And aside from the food donation and the, you know, the jiu-jitsu clothes donation, I just got there early, helped to set up and watched it.
Oh, you came to the, you came to the competition. You never actually came to the actual training sessions in the old church.
No, I've actually only learned about those through your podcast and talking to some of your guests. And no, I never did get to experience that.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah, I don't know why I thought you were there. Maybe because I just saw you so many times at the dojo. You know, the memories blend. So I'm like, oh, were you like coming and training there as well? But you did. Yeah, you came to the first. So you came technically the second one because the first one was in the old bunker, which was just amongst like eight people. You came to the first kind of bigger one, like the when we actually were doing like, yeah, it was more like we were doing the donations. It was in a new location, all that kind of stuff. You came to help and set up and again the second time.
That's 100% right.
Yeah. Nice. And then you competed. Your first time you helped with the first one, but then you competed in the third one, like in the, sorry, second one at the new location. I don't confuse people. So last December was the last one we did, which was the third bunker tournament officially. And you competed in that one. How did that go?
Yeah. So, I mean, you asked me if I would compete, and I think I said yes. And, you know, with the hope that I would, you know, train with a little more purpose and, you know, get a little bit fitter. And I didn't get quite those outcomes, but it was just such a great experience. I mean, it was scary. Fortunately, you know, I was matched up with a friend, you know, someone that I had been working with in the gym. So it was a little less scary, but the idea of trying your hardest with a ref and the points counting was new for me, and I enjoyed watching the video after. I learned a lot about what I thought I knew and how to tighten some things up. And actually, to be honest with you, it made me kind of, you know, interested in getting that feeling of competing again. So yeah, I enjoyed it very much. I mean, I enjoyed being a part of the community and the good that it does. I envied watching the competitors and really enjoyed being one, you know, getting the opportunity to be one.
Yeah, because that was your first time competing ever, right?
My first time competing ever. And I lost, but I got points and I gave up points, and it was a great first experience.
It was a good fight. It wasn't like a match good. You didn't lose horribly. It was pretty good, and you did quite well. But the thing is, like, and anybody who's listening, they can go on to the Bunker YouTube channel and just watch all of the thing, because we streamed it live on the channel at least this last year. So you can see Peter's fight, and you can judge for yourself how bad he was. But it was pretty good. And, you know, I'm glad that it kind of gave you, it was like a positive experience to kind of, because, you know, the thing is that part of the bunker, at least the actual tournaments that we kind of started, was to kind of give that opportunity, not just have fun and to kind of help with the community, but as Arthur had said, like, which one of our professors, you know, it's like that it also provides that kind of environment where somebody who's on the fence about competing, or they're not sure, they're scared, rightfully so, because competing is terrifying. You know, they can have a positive experience. Because if you have a bad experience the first time you compete, then a lot of people will never try it again just because they're scared off of it, right? But if you have a good experience, then again, you'll have the chances of you competing more will be greater, right? So I'm glad, like, a lot of people who have never done it before, they can come there and do it in a safe environment and kind of continue on. You, like me, are a little bit older in the game, right? I don't want to, you know, betray your
it's all good
your age, but, like, you want to tell everybody how old you are now?
Yeah, I don't mind. Well, listen, I started jiu-jitsu when I was 51 years old, and which seems peculiar. And I'm 56 years old now. And I must say, when I go out there, you know, just to class and I learn and it's time to roll, or maybe even have a super fight, how old I am just doesn't seem to occur to me. So, yeah. But yeah, I'm definitely one of the older people around. But I mean, there's some sense of pride in that as well, right? It's kept me fit. It's kept me, like, so mentally engaged and so interested, and just makes me want to go to the gym as much as my body will allow. So yeah, I'm a little older. But
you don't look it. You don't look it. I'm not being nice. It's like
that is the right thing to say, Ted.
Well, it is the right. It's also the truth. I am a priest, so I have to tell you the truth.
That's true.
But, you know, like, well, no, because also, like you said, you know, you're a basketball guy running, like, you're already pretty fit when you join. Like, you're a thin, tall guy, and you got, you know, you're pretty athletic. So, you know, you can move, right? And so that works for you, as opposed to me, where I'm just like, I'm younger, but I'm old and fat and slow. So, you know, it's different games, you know, different games. But
well, your game seems to work quite nicely. It certainly does on me.
Well, that's because I'm just a blob. I just sit there. You know,
I'm not going to agree with you.
Not what you expect. But I started late in the game too, not as late as you, but I started at 38. Now I'm almost 44. So yeah, for us, we're in like the master's level. It's a different game altogether. It's a little slower. It's a little bit more thought out. You got to be more careful when you train. We're not 20. We're not 20 like these guys who can just go on forever and ever. When we have injuries, they take longer to heal. All those things. So you got to be more careful about those things, which I also believe that makes us more thoughtful when we roll, because not for ourselves only, but even for other people. It's like, we understand that if you're not a good training partner, you hurt other people. For us, we don't want to get hurt, because it places us out of the game for much longer than these young people that heal super fast. So that, I think that makes us also more, I don't know, I think it makes us better training partners, because we're more thoughtful about those things.
I agree. I am generally a thoughtful person. I actually do. I'm pretty empathetic person. I mean, you may or have not experienced that. So a part of one of the things for me even to overcome is, you know, is I really, really don't want to hurt someone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I don't know if it's true, but a lot of big guys grow up kind of hurting people by accident, you know, mm-hmm. and feeling bad about it. So we're a little, some of us are a little extra careful and just really don't want to hurt people. So the idea of putting my weight on someone and using my weight as an advantage is sort of something that, it's like, I was the opposite, and I had to be sort of taught that that's okay. That's part of the sport, and and use it, you know, as a tool. So I still find that a little bit difficult, you know, trying my absolute hardest, but it's good. I love grabbing, you know, lower belts and people who are new to the advanced class and working with them. And it makes me feel really good to help, because there's, like, I can list so many people, you'd be at the top of the list, who are very kind and helpful to me and kind to me. Also teaching me some things the hard way, right? I mean, there's no better way to learn than to find yourself in an awkward position and, you know, you can't breathe anymore.
Listen, in my defense, I will be kind until, like, your third strike. And then it's like, when we roll, sometimes I'll tell, for those who don't know, it's like, I'll tell Peter, it's like, you know, okay, we'll start off nice and slow. I'll be like, oh, look, I just ankle picked you and you fell down. So let's do this again. And then he'll put his foot out and I'll ankle pick him again. And be like, okay, why are you doing this? Like, okay. And then the third time it's like, okay, now it's going to be the full weight, because you got to learn at some point not to put your foot near my hand.
Exactly. And that is a much better way for humans to learn, is, you know, just to suffer a little bit. And the thing I like about jiu-jitsu, you're right. I mean, there are injuries, and I've certainly had some. I've had, you know, more than my usual share of like the old type of person things, like tendonitis, and where you just have to take a week or two off as opposed to anything too serious. But, you know, if you do find yourself in a compromising position, you're in control. You can stop it whenever you want. And as long as you don't have the pride, I do get some comfort to know that I can just tap and I know that it's over. And, you know, there's one thing I quite like about the sport, but you're right. The best way for us to learn is by feeling it. Mm-hmm. Even when you do something and it doesn't work, like the other day I was in a super fight, I'd been working on my hip bump sweeps. I probably shouldn't tell anybody that. And, you know, I didn't capture the arm properly and it failed. And it really crystallized for me that, and next time I did it much better. So it's fun. I find the learning process just amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, to go back to what you're saying about being a bigger guy, and then like a lot of times, well, if you're a conscientious person, because they're different personalities, right? So there are people who are not so conscientious and they don't care and they'll just smash, right? There are those types. But then if you're a conscientious person, I am, you are, maybe that's why I'm in the profession that I'm in, but it can be a hindrance, but it can also be a good thing. So the hindrance is that a lot of people say, well, you're too nice, right? Like, you know, you should be a little more aggressive, because in a competition, you know, the other person's not going to be nice to you, and you need to put your full weight, like, kind of. And even in training, when you're preparing yourself for a competition, you need to know what it's like to kind of go maybe not 100%, but, you know, 95%, right? But then we're pulling back because we don't want to hurt the people, because most people in the gym are smaller than us, right? Most people are you know, just, and you know, you want to be a good training partner. You don't want to just smash them all the time. That's the negative. That's the drawback. But there's a positive to this that I like to focus on the positive, which is that, yes, you may be bigger. Like I'm much bigger than you are, but like, you're still a pretty big guy. You may be bigger or longer legs. You might have an advantage, like, over certain people who are smaller than you. And you don't want to like crush them, that forces you to adapt and to have better technique. So yes, yeah. I could win by killing them, right? I could win by just sitting on them, right? And just crushing them in side control, for example, and just sit there and let the clock run out, and you'll be a horrible training partner, or you'll just be a boring, you know, athlete if you go to the competitions, because you're just sitting on them. And there's lots of people who win like that. They win golds like that, right? You know, you can learn to try new things and be more technical and not use your weight unless you absolutely have to, like, unless somebody else is as big as you or bigger, and then you have to go wait for, you know, strength for strength, right? But I think it makes you a better, I choose to believe that it also makes you a better jiu-jitsu practitioner, because you have to kind of, you know, try other things other than what you're naturally gifted with. I don't know. For me, I find that it helped me out a lot with my jiu-jitsu, because I don't want to hurt the people. So like I've always said, like, at a competition, I don't need to win gold bad enough that I would like break somebody's arm. Like if I put somebody in an arm bar and they don't tap, and let's say I'm down on points and the only way to win the match is to make them tap, right? I'd rather lose the match personally than break the guy's arm, right? Because there are people like that who will not tap. Now, some people say, well, I'd break it because, you know, they're in the sport, and, you know, they know what the drill is and they know what the risks are, and they didn't want to tap. But I'm like, no, well, I'd rather be good enough that I'm already up on points, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not in that situation in the first place. And then the submission is a nice bonus, but I don't have to do that. Like, at least, but that's my personal philosophy. That somebody else, I don't knock other people who have different philosophy, but.
Yeah. I agree with you. Like, you know, you'll appreciate this, you know, with what you do for a living. And I give this advice all the time because, you know, everyone makes different choices in life. And what's most important is that when you're looking in the mirror, that the person looking, that you're proud of the person looking back at you. And if, I mean, we'll just, your analogies doesn't apply to me because I ain't going to be fighting for gold anytime ever, actually.
You don't know that.
But if I were in that position, I 100,000% would not injure someone just to win. And because winning at this stage of my life is not even close to the most important thing. And so I would never do that. And if I did do it, I'd feel pretty bad about myself. But I agree. I have met some of the people who do not think that way. And I'm very careful when I'm around them. But that's certainly my view. I wouldn't feel very good about that. But I think your point's a good point, right? Instead of because I think part of the origins of jiu-jitsu and what amazes me about jiu-jitsu is that smaller people through technique can counter someone who's bigger and stronger. And when, you know, well, let's say a purple belt or anyone in the gym who's 50 pounds less than me and can control me, I do marvel at it. I don't like it, but I marvel at the technical skill. And you're right. If you're using your weight and strength advantage, then you're probably missing on the skill. And that's what I'm really trying to get better at. So, yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, well, thank you. I like to make good points.
Sometimes, Ted.
Sometimes. And you're not going to be in that position, but you don't know that because I believe you have a couple of competitions coming up, right?
I do,
Yeah.
you know, and I think maybe, you know, I'm not like, if this goes horribly wrong, I won't blame it on you, but you know, because I did get that opportunity, you encouraged me. I called you 3 weeks before the bunker tournament and I said, hey, listen, like, I'm not as in shape as I'd like. I'm not as prepared as I'd like. I know a lot of people want to be in
Yeah, you
this.
try to get out of it. Yeah, try to
I tried to get out of it and you
avoid
said, no, like, I want you to stay in. And I was like, okay, I made a commitment. I did it. But I think, you know, the bug bit me a little bit and I was like, man, I think I can learn from this. I think I can do better. And this, like, just this part of this little, like, first part of 2025 for me, just from a work perspective, is not as busy as, you know, sometimes other periods have been. So I was thinking about, you know, some goals and things like that. And I think about jiu-jitsu all the time. I have no friends that I can talk about it to until I go to the gym, right? So I learned that, you know, if you enter a competition, a couple things will happen. You'll learn with a lot more purpose. You know, I found maybe some other people were learning faster than me. I'd go to class, I do the reps, I roll, but I wasn't getting as better as I thought I could. And having a goal of competing, makes you learn with much greater purpose. So I found that, you know, I have been working with Arthur. I have got some privates, which I haven't done in the past, to really work on a game plan. And I feel like I've really accelerated my learning because I want to be prepared for this tournament. And then also, I just wanted to eat healthier and be fitter and lose some weight. And I had a goal of getting down to a lower weight class. Since January 1st, I've lost 25 pounds.
Well,
So I've targeted the
go ahead.
Ontario Open May 4th. There's already, I think, three people in my division, so I'm excited about that. And then I have a warm-up tournament this Saturday in well, it's not a warm-up, it's, you know,
Yeah, just
just the
smaller
first
one,
one.
trial run.
And yeah, so I'm going to be in the competing in the Aurora one. And you know, so really the goal for me was get fit and train with purpose. And I feel like that has happened. And now I'm gonna, you know, achieving those goals of having a game plan, accelerating my learning, losing the weight, being fitter, like, the victory's kind of already there. And I just hope to do the best I can in those tournaments. We'll see.
Sure. Yeah, see, I think that's what like a lot of people realize. Like obviously not everybody competes. Like it's something like 2% of all people who do jiu-jitsu actually compete, even though there's so many that we see because the tournaments are so big. But compared to total amount of people who do jiu-jitsu in the world, right? So it's something like 2%. So, and then people say, well, you don't have to compete to do jiu-jitsu. And that's 100% true, right? You can be a hobbyist and just kind of go and relax and, you know, learn at your own pace. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's true that when you, I find this, that's why a lot of people ask me too, is like my stage in my life. I'm in my mid-40s now almost. And I have no, I compete quite a bit, but I don't do it like it, I have no need for the medals. It's not for the medal.
Yeah.
Not to say, oh, you know, like who cares? Masters two or Masters three, like, you know, no one cares. And people say, well, why do you do it so much? Like, why are you competing like four or five times a year, especially with my schedule where it's super crazy busy, right? And it's exhausting. But I say like, the reason why I do it is because I find for me personally that, like you said, it pushes me to advance faster in my jiu-jitsu because I have a goal. And it's like, okay, when I have a goal, so like, let's say I try to compete a minimum four times, right? So quarterly. And then, so I know like every 4 months, there's a goal. And then I have a set goal. It's like, okay, I look at, like you mentioned, watching video yourself for the first time and then how helpful that is. Yeah. It's not a vain thing to film yourself while you're competing because it's invaluable research. When you look back and you say, oh, I can't believe I put my hand there. I can't believe I made these stupid, like, fundamental mistakes that I never do in the dojo, right? So like for me, like my process is compete, okay, whatever happens, whether I win or lose, look at the footage afterwards. I go over it like with my professor as well. I get feedback, okay, why am I making these repeated mistakes over and over again? Then go back to the drawing board, maybe do a couple of privates to plug those specific holes, those specific problems, the weaknesses. And then I'm like, okay, next competition, I'm going in with a specific goal of, you know, doing like hitting a specific submission or perfecting a specific move that I was weak before. And that's what I do it. And you go, you know, you move on. And with every competition, I find that it builds. It's not a secret that in most jiu-jitsu gyms, not all, and especially in more traditional old school, like Brazilian, you know, run jiu-jitsu gyms, it's true that the people who compete tend to get promoted faster. And the reason why this happens is not because, well, they're going out and they're like, even the ones who lose, even the ones who don't necessarily bring, you know, medals back for the club and all this kind of stuff. Right. It's that it's just a natural, byproduct of competing that people who compete tend to progress faster. You know, like you said, train with purpose. John Danahar talks about this a lot. Like John Danahar, he's like, when you train, you should always be training with purpose, right? Mm-hmm. Directed training. Like you should know when you're walking into the dojo any given day, you shouldn't just be going in there and saying, I'm just going to do whatever. No, you should have a specific skill you want to learn that day and you want to drill that specific thing. And then that's why all his students, if you see like some of the best in the world, of course, Gordon Ryan, Helena Krivar, who's like the new phenom, the 18-year-old.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah. Why do they progress so fast? Why do they progress like through the belts and through their like in jiu-jitsu? Because they're doing directed, pointed. Okay. They're training much more than we are. Obviously, they're professionals. But they are specifically training for specific purposes, right? Instead of just kind of generically saying, okay, I'm just doing this random move today and then I don't remember it tomorrow, right? So you're going to see, I think, personally, that you're going to see an elevation in your game much faster now that you've started to compete.
Yeah, I think I was training the way you mentioned before, which is, you know, I go to class, I learn what I learn, you know, I roll and, you know, now like I've chosen a game plan, like with my professor and, so I'm repping. It's amazing the amount of reps that you need to do to get things right, you know, particularly in live action, you know. Mm-hmm. You and I can do it. If you allow me to do it, I'll get the reps, you know, right most of the time. That was the reason why I chose to do it. And I've definitely learned a lot and I've definitely come along. And for me, I will not feel bad if it doesn't go well. I'm just excited about the journey. I've definitely learned a lot faster. I have a game plan. I can do a whole bunch of things that I feel pretty confident in. Yeah, I don't know. I've loved the journey. And you know, the other thing too, which is so surprising to me, I wasn't expecting when I went to a gym, you know, to a dojo, is the community that I have found is I was expecting to go learn something fun and work out. You know what I mean? And get in shape. And I found this community of people that I just love seeing, and they love seeing me. And it's there's something a little extra special about, I guess, the way we train and how we compete with each other and how we help each other. I found this community of people that I wasn't expecting that is very powerful for me. It means a lot to me, these people. When my competitions are over in, you know, that weekend of May, I don't know how I'm going to express my gratitude to them, but I feel like I really need to in some way. And I think that might be the best of the whole thing.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's the best mentality to have, because again, it's not trying to make you feel better, or you try to make yourself feel better. Like, worst comes to worst, let's say you lose, right? You don't even win one fight, right? Like you said, you've lost like 23 pounds, like, in since January. You have a game plan. You know, you're doing these extra super fights now, whereas before, I remember, like, before you were doing this, or you had in your mind to compete, you didn't know where to go when you're rolling. You're kind of like, just like, okay, what do I do? Right? Like,
What do I, yeah.
what do I do? Like, I'm in a holding pattern, right? I'm just kind of like stalling, right?
Yeah.
Where now it's like, okay, I know where I want to go, and I have certain tools, right? All that makes you so much better, even if you didn't even compete. But the fact that you're competing give you the impetus, right? So yeah, and the more you do it, you'll see, like, the more you refine it. And it'll just it becomes a new type of flow to your training. So I
Well, we'll see, Ted. I'm gonna get through these two, and then we'll play it by ear. One thing I will, yeah. What's that?
I'll be at the May 4th one, because I'm competing as well. So we'll be there together, and so I'll be there rooting for you. I won't be there this by the time this episode airs, it'll be like 2 weeks from now. So it'll be past your first
Oh.
your trial run on Saturday. Unfortunately, I can't come to your Saturday because it is Holy Saturday, and it's the day before Easter for both of us, actually. And I'm working, so I'm not going to be
I
there.
hear
But I'll be there in spirit, and I'll be praying, like, you know, don't break anything, Peter.
Yeah, my wife didn't love that it was Easter weekend, but we're hosting, like we do. We often are the hosts of like Easter celebrations, so we're hosting on Sunday. So
Oh, geez. So
yeah.
you'll be all
Anyway.
refreshed.
Oh, I'm gonna eat though. I'm gonna eat
That's true.
everything.
That's true. You're gonna eat everything. But don't eat too much, because then the 2 weeks later, you
I
got,
hear you.
wait, two, is it 2 weeks? Yeah, it's about 2 weeks after May 4th, two and a
Yeah,
half,
it,
2 weeks. I can't do math, but April 20th is Easter, and then May 4th we got the Ontario, the biggest one in Canada. It's fun. It's a 2 day thing. We're both on Sunday. Because that's when the adults and the masters are competing. The kids are on the Saturday. So I think you're gonna enjoy it. It's a nice, you've been to that venue before, I think.
I've been to cheer others on, yeah.
Tribute Center. It's really nice. It's a nice arena. So I think it's gonna be good. But
That's why I wanted to lose all the weight, Ted, is because I didn't want to have to compete against you.
well, that's the thing, right? Because you're right. Yeah, you're anything over 220, right? Or 222, I think,
222, yeah.
goes to ultra heavy, which is me. Which is like,
Yeah.
but you know, so you're going to be under that,
Super, super heavy.
super heavy, which is good. You'll be at the top of super heavy, which is a little bit of an advantage for you as well. Yeah, I'm glad that you won't be in the ultra heavy. The ultra heavy is such a wide range that it's very unpredictable, because there's no cap.
Yeah. Yeah. No, thank you.
Yeah, could you imagine being a 230 pound guy against like a 400 pound guy, which happens.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Actually, I've seen it, and yeah, it doesn't look appealing to me.
I have felt it. I'm glad I'm on against a 420 pound guy.
Holy
Not
moly.
fun, not a fun experience.
Hey, Ted, next time I see you in the gym, I'll show you my two abs. I think you can see two.
There you go. There you go. I've never seen, so you know, that's pretty good.
I just trust that they're there, so
Yeah. Well, they're
underneath.
there. Yeah. No. Nice. So, kind of, what do you I know you told, you said like you've already kind of told us about your journey, told us about how you started, told us about what it means to you. If you had to, I guess, leave everybody with a thought or with kind of like a final thought about what you've done so far in jiu-jitsu, that's been 5 years, so it's not insignificant, right? It's half a decade of your life that you've dedicated to this. You know, if you had to leave our listeners, people who are maybe thinking about it or just starting off, with a kind of some kind of words of wisdom, I guess you could say, even especially for the older guys who may be scared to get into it, what would it be?
Yeah, that's, it's actually good to direct me that way, because I actually think that, I think that's maybe the most important lesson. So I was really interested in it because it's very strategic. There's so much to learn. There's so much strategy. Like it's just so interesting. So intellectually, it's very exciting to me. Physically, you know, I don't mind doing cardio work, but I don't like being in the gym. So although a lot of people do weight training to be good at jiu-jitsu, for me, jiu-jitsu is my weight training, right? I mean, that's my 4 times a week where instead of moving metal, I'm moving people, right? Mm. And so it's a very good head to toe muscle flexibility and cardio workout. And if you, I believe that I could do jiu-jitsu for many, 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 many more years if I'm smart about my own pride and my own mentality and who I choose to do jiu-jitsu with. Mm-hmm. And so I hope, certainly after these competitions, that this could be a very sustainable, long-term head-to-toe cardio muscle workout with the most incredible community of people who really, really care about each other. I'll tell you, like you roll with someone, or even like now that I've done some of these super fights, and at the end of them, like, I don't know, like I'm a hugger in real life, but like you just want to hug your opponent because it's just so, it's just a level of connection and compete that for me, it's a very powerful connection. So I'm going to try and find a way to make jiu-jitsu sustainable and that I can be doing it when I'm in my 60s, who knows, even beyond that. This competitions I'm doing right now are for a very specific purpose of, you know, really accelerating my knowledge, but I see it more like a journey. And I think a lot of older people can get into it and can enjoy it, can become bitter, and it can really be a lifelong pursuit if we find each other and we take care of each other and we train in that, with that mindset. So it's been wonderful. And to be honest with you, it's given me so much gratitude to you, you know, to Joel, to Arthur, to all your previous guests. So many people have been a part of my journey and I'm grateful to them all. And thanks for having me on today. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a pleasure. It's an honor. And it's been a good run so far. And I agree with you. Like I see it as something that I want to do until I die. And it's people say, well, that sounds, you know, unrealistic. And it's not. If you watch, like if you go on like Flow Grappling or you watch like any kind of IBJJF like tournaments where you have these old red belts who are still competing. Mm. And they're in their 70s and in their 80s sometimes. And they're, wow. And you watch them fight. And they're not there to kill each other. It's very fascinating to watch because they exist, like these lots of these videos even on YouTube you can look at, just, you know, Google, you know, red belt competitions. And you watch them at that age. And at that age, it's a dance. They're so old and they've been doing jiu-jitsu for like 50 years, whatever, some of them, right? Wow. And it's just, it's, they're not there to like hurt each other. They're there. It's really cool to watch it. It's very graceful. It's very much like they're just playing with each other. Right. And there's movement and it's slow, but it's graceful and they're doing the techniques, but it's a different pace, but they're still doing it. And they're still, you know, they're not there to hurt each other, to break each other's arms, to, you know, to do anything like that. And you can tell that there's this kind of beautiful give and take, and it's more like almost like this exhibition, you know, dance. I liken it to a dance because it's exactly what it is. And they're just basically playing and they're doing it into their 70s and their 80s. Helio Gracie, you know, he died. I think, how old was he, like 90? But I know, like, he was training up to, like, I think, I could be wrong, but I think it was, like, a months before he died. Like, he was still moving, still doing movements, still putting on the gi, right? So barring, like, any kind of serious ailments or right. serious debilitating, you know, injuries, there's no reason why we can't do this forever. Because, again, like you said, you have to train smart.
Yeah.
And, like, without ego, like, not push yourself too much and overtrain and hurt yourself. But if you're just there for the love of it, there's no reason why we can't do this until we're, you know, very, very old, which I plan to do forever as much as I
can. So let's sell tickets right now for Bunker.
Oh, yeah.
Bunker 22.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
You and me, super fight.
Super fight, yeah. When we're, yeah, who knows, right? Who knows? That would be a very good thing, I think. So hopefully the bunker will still be going by then. We'll see what happens with life, but it would be amazing if somebody like it would just keep going on and on.
It'll be the large. It'll be the largest charity-based jiu-jitsu tournament in North America by then.
You think so? I don't know.
Why? It could be.
It could be. It could be. Even if it stays as intimate as we're doing it now, I'd be happy with that too, because it's like it's a nice little family kind of local thing, and it's got a charm to it, I think. So we'll see what happens with it, but you know, as long as we're around, as long as I'm around, you're around, and everybody else who kind of loves the community, and we keep kind of volunteering and doing this, I think it'll continue on. So
100%.
Let's hope. Well, Peter, thank you. It's been an honor and a pleasure having you on, sharing your story and then some of your experiences and some of your wisdom as well. And of course, we'll see each other on the mats. But yeah, really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ted. Really appreciate it, man. We'll see you soon.
Yeah. And thank you everybody for listening, and we'll see everybody next week. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Bunker Jiu-Jitsu podcast. Feel free to follow us on Instagram and YouTube. And if you want to reach out with any questions or if you're interested in being on the show, feel free to email us at bunkerjiujitsu@gmail.com.